Hello from the Nonprofit Technology Conference, where Andrew and I are walking around and learning about all the cool nonprofit tech that's going on.
It's
what are you seeing?
It's Portland. Everything's made out of wood and macrame. It's amazing.
And they all have beards, everyone.
Yes.
So what are you seeing? You've been here many years before.
I have. It's like my fourth or fifth conference for NTC. There are some virtual ones, but I don't really count those.
Do you know a lot of people here? Like, do you see a lot of the same faces? And
there are definitely repeats. Yeah, definitely. Some people that come year in and year out. And always fresh faces.
Yeah. That guy I was talking to last night knew everybody here. I mean, he's like, this is my 12th year. I'm kind of an old pro.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he and his wife both work in the industry and so come a lot. So.
Well, it's a community event. It's like, I think one of the beautiful things about this event, it's really recharging.
Yeah.
Like so many nonprofits. There are 1.9 million nonprofits in the US.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are just an executive director and volunteers.
Yes.
And maybe even larger, you know, 3, 4, 5 people person teams. It can be isolating at times to feel like, oh, you have the weight of the world on your shoulders and you're working really hard and no one understands exactly what you do. And then you come and meet a community of people who are going through exactly the same thing that you're going through. And then you meet the organizations that you looked up to, like the Audubon societies, and you realize, oh, they have the same problems too, you know? And it scales it in an interesting way and then creates a really strong sense of community and overall like global justice, which is great.
That's a really good point. I've been in sessions and they always ask like, who's here for the first time? And it's been neat seeing all the hands kind of going up that this is the first time. I also think, as a marketing agency, when we work with clients, a lot of times the first thing we're doing is reviewing their marketing tech stack and like where their data is all housed so we understand what we have to work with. And so we're often in 6 or 7 or so tools for every single client. So we see them all. So it's been really neat being here and seeing a lot of those tools are represented here, obviously, but then talking to people about how they're using them, because a lot of what we do is, I think you called it digital therapy.
Oh yes. Digital therapy.
And that's what we do. People are coming. I mean, we're kicking off a client this week that for the last 2 weeks, she's been emailing and saying, hey, our contract is up with this particular platform. Should we keep going with it? Should we use this? What else is there? We're exploring X, Y, and Z. And I like to be able to have a little window, which I think this conference has provided enough. Like, I've been meeting with a lot of the vendors because it's such a nice way for me to see what else is sort of out there in the marketplace.
Yeah, I think like the technology space has been rife with conversation around like composable architectures and different, everything kind of comes together. It's not monolith. There was a move towards like more monolithic like DXPs, but that is getting fractured again because the promise of those monolithic solutions hasn't been realized.
Yeah.
And the trust, the small amount of trust that those large entities still held is kind of evaporated a little bit with some of those efforts. And that's a good thing for organizations all over the place that are creating like innovative solutions, but it does displace that responsibility for the composability, like who's doing the composing, right? And I think there's a role for agencies to play in that, and you're smart to look at the landscape of options out there and provide, trustworthy advice that's adapted to the needs of your clients.
I mean, it's a little bit self-serving because, of course, we want to work with the most effective and efficient tools as well. And a lot of the older stalwarts of this industry don't play well with others. And we have a really hard time moving data between different platforms. And so when you're building campaigns, it's really hard to do that. And so I think what's been neat about software as a service in the past 5 years is they've accelerated at an enormous pace because there's so many problems in the existing platforms, but they all now play well with others, which is just such a gift because we can actually build tools where we've got certain organizations that need, a really high strength and maybe new donor acquisition and another one that's got a more membership focused, whatever that looks like, but the data needs to all come into one platform, one CRM. But
yeah, definitely.
Still not great though.
It's hard. It's hard. It can be hard.
Have you gone to any of the web sessions? I know that's your slant.
Yeah, not yet. I want to go to the next round of talks. There's one on, large content migration.
Oh, I saw that one. And, yes.
That looks interesting.
That one's on my list too. And I also saw some around accessibility, which I actually thought would be a lot more represented.
Well, there were
in the
two of the sessions were canceled on accessibility.
Oh, interesting.
And my session was not accepted on accessibility. Oh. So I'm feeling a little, but I did talk about accessibility last year already. So maybe they thought,
oh, you did. Good
played,
for you.
It didn't yeah. play it out.
So, I mean, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that at least 3 to 5 sessions, every single session is on what?
artificial intelligence.
Generative AI.
Uh-huh, AI. But I think, you know, I mean, it makes sense. Like yeah. almost half the attendees this year are robots. So we really have to cater to the, you know, the audience. So
yep.
that explains it.
I think it's hard to choose. They're, even the titles were so similar that sometimes I'm yep. like, okay, one of them is AI for marketing, and the other one is marketing with AI. The other one is personalization.
They obviously didn't use AI to come up with their titles. Or maybe so they all used AI to come up with their titles. Yeah. That's why they're all the same.
I like your comment, though, that they take speaker applications so far in advance in the year. So last mm-hmm. year, the applications are due in September or October. And then by the time the conference rolls around, ChatGPT
no
had come out.
About whatever.
Yeah, and it was the hottest topic. So yeah. it's really hard to beat because, you know, I do apply and speak at conferences as well. Mm-hmm. And you realize, like, I just sent out applications for conferences in October and November.
Yeah.
And, like, that's probably not even where I'm going to be interested in, at yeah. that point, you know. So.
Is this project we're working on going to be done in time?
Yeah.
I have a case study, you know. Are we still, yeah. you know, we're in the honeymoon period right now, but are we going to be able to stay up on stage and
yeah.
share the love, like,
it is,
earnestly.
There's something to be said, though, for a balance of, well, there's a lot of data stuff we've been seeing, and mm-hmm. cybersecurity has mm-hmm. been a oh, lot yeah. of sessions and a lot of AI.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised there hasn't been more around accessibility, only because, mm-hmm. and I know you said you submitted one, but it's becoming a bigger, I'm sure everybody's beat to death on it, but at the same time, we still work with organizations for yeah. whom it's a non-issue and they don't want to invest in it or they don't want to
sure.
you know, and so we do what we can, but it's a business use case, so.
It's legislated in a
yeah,
lot
yeah,
of areas
yeah.
And
we don't build don't, without it. I'm just saying that a lot of organizations are like yeah. oh, we have to what.
I think here there's a high level of consciousness around accessibility
yeah,
because it's not just about like meeting standards. It's really about approaching it from an equity mindset, mm-hmm. and everyone's trying to build inclusive digital communities
yep.
and also, you know, real world community.
Yeah.
And that kind of helps motivate organizations to take on those challenges, but they can be hard and at scale and for small nonprofits, a lot of people are looking for sort of turnkey solutions. It's just not so easy. It requires some knowledge and
yep.
education and empathy, really, because accessibility can be situational.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're in a library and you want to watch a video with captions on, it's not that you necessarily can't hear, but it makes a lot of sense.
Useful. At that point. Yeah.
And if you're, I don't know, in a stressful situation, you might be cognitively impaired trying to get information about directions to a place or a
yeah.
thing,
mm-hmm.
right? Your mind's not working well in a crisis. So those are all more complex
yep.
needs to address when it comes to accessibility. And I think this community in particular is really well attuned to those concerns. So yeah, I'm a little
That's
surprised
true.
There isn't a little bit more,
mm-hmm.
but it's becoming increasingly a given, which...
I agree with that. I do think there is room for just talking about what the accepted standards are and sort of where the WCAG is going. I think there mm-hmm. would have been a nice use case for that so people know what to expect, because our clients do get
right.
sort of surprised sometimes when those things come up. But we've
yeah,
just like we've
yeah.
had with the email deliverability issues that is happening
mm-hmm.
over
mm-hmm.
the last, and how many... the main updates we've had to go make for all of our clients who all of
yeah.
a sudden are getting, you know, reduced deliverability of their emails and they don't have the right policies set up. So.
Sure. Yeah.
A lot.
Got to get those entries in there.
Other than that, there's a lot of CRMs.
a lot of CRMs. Like, I can't, there's new CRMs.
They're doing it better, though.
I need a CRM to keep track of all my CRMs.
It's true. There's a lot of them.
So. It's really, it's getting kind of intense. A lot of donation and payment.
Fundraising yep. platforms.
That's always popular.
Yep.
Gotta get the dollars. Got to get the donors. Got to track the donors. For sure. Member management.
I have not seen a lot of. Where have you seen member management?
A little bit. I mean, okay. Sometimes it's baked into the financial financial pieces.
I'm looking for a little bit more of that. I actually talked to one provider, Engaging mm-hmm. Networks, who advised me against using their platform for membership. Oh, okay. So, yeah, we do have a client that Bonterra, uses Engaging.
Neon's not here. They were here a few years, but I haven't seen them around here for a little while.
Yeah.
Which is surprising because this is totally their target market.
Yeah, there's actually a number of vendors I've been thinking I haven't seen that we work with quite a bit. So I'm curious why they choose to or not invest in this particular audience, which seems like they're where they should be, but maybe I'm wrong.
This could only do so much, maybe.
Yep, that's true. I've also seen a lot of SMS, and I've actually gone to a couple sessions on SMS, really? Which I think is really interesting because...
Have you done much of that?
We do very, 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 very little of it, only mm-hmm. when our clients ask us to. Okay. And the truth is, the one session I went to talked about when you're dealing with... different populations. There are some populations that are literally mm-hmm. not checking email. They are not using email. They are not using, and they're all SMS. And so, especially when you're reaching out, not just Gen Z, but like lower income communities, like they live on text. And so it's a interesting way to diversify mm-hmm. your audience that I think a lot of marketers and nonprofits are missing. So
the
entire conversion rate.
There's a lot. I mean, that's why, Segment and Twilio merge too to like try to build out more of that diversity of data pathways.
One of the neatest sessions I went to was the Audubon Society, which you were talking about, mm-hmm. and he was talking about diversifying his donor base and how they attacked it. And they took the Audubon Society, if you can imagine who their customer profile looks like, right? Is a very 65-year-old white male. Who loves birding. And so they have whole onboarding segment or onboarding sequence where the very first email was like how to get started with birding, where they recommended a $700 pair of binoculars. Because birding is accessible and welcomes all, right?
Yes.
And so they started, they started taking they took their data and they used a tool called TrendSmart that'll match your data against publicly accessible data, like name directory, Census Bureau stuff. And so they could identify and put together racial, ideological, ethnic profiles of their donor database.
Yeah.
Then they started mapping their marketing performance against those segments.
Yeah.
So like how many of their Black people audience are opening emails, interacting with them, engaging with their paid media, et cetera, et cetera. And they were, and then they started making small changes in all of their messaging to try to change that instead of saying, well, we need more of these people who are interacting. And as an engagement metric, they said, we're trying to engage with this metric.
Right. Right.
I thought that was really interesting. They removed the $700 binoculars and said, here's some backyard birds that you can start talking. Because that's like the most popular version of birding is backyard birding. My husband's deeply into it right now.
Yeah.
But I just thought that was neat. And you start paying attention a little bit more to like the things you're recommending in your messaging and how you're sharing your craft, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. I remember hearing I wish I could remember like specifics, but I remember listening to a podcast and it was a Black ornithologist, and he was saying, he faced all kinds of issues because people are kind of Black man in the forest with a pair of binoculars, like, what are you doing here? Yeah. And like a lot of like, it's not always a smooth experience for him to be exercising his passion, but in sharing it and bringing more people like to it, it's starting to change. I like what the Cornell Lab of Ornithology is doing. They have like a huge database of bird calls and people contribute to it.
Oh, that's neat.
It's from all over, and
and
because like sometimes the birds migrate, so their songs may change and or not in different contexts or different countries and how they have adapted or become regionalized. and all of that is being, you know, processed with AI. They have a pretty cool app that you can get. And
we've got the app. I know. We're constantly, we're looking at every leaf and every flower and every bird call. Like,
that's awesome.
That's what you do when you get old, it turns out. So,
well, my son's like seven, so he's super
he's into it too. Yeah. There's that middle age where people just don't do that though, like 20 to maybe 35. Yeah. Too busy. All right. Any thoughts to wrap us up? You coming back next year?
Most probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean,
is this always on the West Coast?
Nice. No, every other year. So N10, they are based in Portland.
Yep.
And so this is sort of home base. And then every other year they alternate. It was in Denver last year. I'm not sure what it'll be next year. They'll announce it.
Has it ever been East Coast? Or do they do kind of like Denver, maybe Salt Lake City?
Maybe Baltimore.
Oh, okay.
Might be a...
Yeah. It seemed DC would... I've met so many people here from DC, which makes a lot of sense. It's a lot of the big national nonprofits are based there. So.
Yeah, it might be more expensive to organize in DC too.
Yeah,
that's a factor too. They want to make it accessible and not have the ticket prices be too high. So
that's been
Portland's
great.
Been good to them generally.
And it's been fun, like the parties, the food, all of that.
Oh, yeah. Hey, conference. I mean, our party was off the hook.
Our party was awesome.
It's great.
I think it ended up totally perfectly. So I was very happy. Yep.
Yeah.
So we'll see you here next year.
All right.
Bye.
See you later.